daddy's old LGO.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Wednesday, February 14th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It's a weird day in headline news, but that just seems to kind of be the general state of affairs lately as things continue to devolve into newer cartoonish depths. Very strange. You know, there are a variety of very odd headlines today. And it's just more and more evident that life in America is really devolving to a new cartoonish low, which again is sort of a slight on cartoons. As kids, you know, back in the the voice of cartoons, Mel Blanc days, cartoons were actually a fun thing, but there's so many strange headlines. Applebee's apologizes for racial profiling at restaurant, fires three employees. What? Many drivers stepping down as Oxfam ambassador. I wonder why. Maybe because human child sex trafficking isn't a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. How about this one? The media is ignoring ties between the Clinton campaign and Russians. That's a Washington Post headline, which I thought was pretty shocking. Or this story from the Mirror: time traveler from 2030 passes lie detector test over whether his future predictions are true. That's interesting. And what was the CNN headline? Can't find it. Anyway, very strange stuff. And then, of course, there's the story of shots fired outside NSA headquarters. One person may be injured this morning. And then the usual nonsense. New York Post: Russians attacked American troops on Putin's orders. And oh gosh, where's the other fun story? Another defensive drone strike. But a lot of pro-government tank destroyed in second defensive U.S. airstrike in Syria this week. That's an RT headline. But this one kind of illustrates how weird things are getting. A Slate story. This was actually from yesterday. Stop saying breast milk is free. There are a lot of weird headlines like that floating around. But I digress. It's Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day. We're gonna kind of step away from that usual flavor of nonsense this morning and deal with the subject of Valentine's Day. Does it feel like Valentine's Day to you? A happy, loving, joy-filled day of celebration? Me either. But why or why not? Aren't we all whiny, entitled Americans, the world's snobby, infantile elitists, who have it all and complain about it? Or is there perhaps more going on here than is widely addressed? So I submit the latter, obviously. And so on this Valentine's Day 2018, I'm going to tackle this subject matter from a particularly unorthodox standpoint. And my hope is, by the time we've come full circle, you'll feel much better for the journey. So here we go. This past Sunday, February 11th, the Philadelphia Inquirer published the article titled, "Why One Philly Elementary School is Paying Kids Not to Fight." While this discussion is not new, in fact, we've seen several propaganda articles of this variety in recent years, particularly back in 2014, including Tim Murphy's 2014 Mother Jones article titled, "Did This City Bring Down Its Murder Rate by Paying People Not to Kill?" But this latest round takes a more deeply provocative, in-depth look at the subject, including citing the work of Harvard Education Innovation Laboratory researcher Brad Allen. At this point, astute listeners may recall my citation last week from The Hidden Persuaders, Chapter 19, The Engineered Yes, of Dr. Samuel A. Stouffer, director of the Laboratory of Social Relations, Harvard University, and their intensive research, as he put it, on the subject of fear in connection with learning theory. But I digress. Glenn Thrush's 2014 Politico article titled, "Can You Fight Poverty by Paying Kids to Go to School?" is another provocative variant in this topical line. But the focal point here is violence and aggression. As Principal Stephanie Andrulovich was quoted in last Sunday's article, quote, "They have a choice to become the violence they see in their day-to-day lives or to be peaceful models for our school and our community." These series of articles naturally and inherently focus on male-centered violence and aggression. So my question is, does this strategy really eradicate hate, violence, and aggression, or does it simply mask and deflect from the real underlying issues and problems, while further emasculating boys soon to be young men? And further, could this even potentially foment further violence and aggression? While my question is admittedly rhetorical in nature, the reason and reasoning may not be so obvious to even the most observant, learned, and scholarly. Enter A Voice for Men, a platform generally stereotyped and marginalized by mainstream media as a quote-unquote men's rights movement platform. And just as an aside, isn't it interesting how, you know, we have the Me Too, Women's March stuff, and that's important. And, you know, it's Black History Month, and we have all these things going on. Black Lives Matter, and those things are important. And illegal immigrants' lives matter, and all of those things. But if I say I want to start a White Men's History Month or holiday or group or whatever, I would be marginalized and castigated very quickly, which is kind of interesting. Just kind of, you know, how we have been polarized. Our thinking has been polarized on those issues. So it, again, you know, the point really there at the heart of that is the beggar thy neighbor approach, benefits of minority groups in the herd, so to speak, to balkanize the herd essentially against itself, which is very effective. People are losing their minds over these kinds of sound bites. So the men's rights movement platform, so-called, at least by the mainstream media, A Voice for Men, but whose stated mission is to, quote, provide education and encouragement to men and boys to lift them above the din of misandry, to reject the unhealthy demands of gynocentrism in all its forms, and to promote their mental, physical, and financial well-being without compromise or apology, end quote. And while I don't particularly care for movements, and particularly of any contemporary variety, or agree with the term gynocentrism, which is, I find it off-putting, frankly, to say the least. It's offensive. Nonetheless, A Voice for Men and efforts like it is nonetheless, I believe, an important counter to the overwhelming so-called feminist narrative, which at its core is really nothing more than eugenics and the concurrent euthanizing of strong, brave, courageous young men, a turn of phrase which, by the way, should be considered extremely redundant. Here's where it gets interesting, though. A recent January 9 article at Voice for Men by Tom Golden titled "Relational Aggression, Is It a Trap for Men?" starts to put things into proper focus and context here. Tom Golden also maintains a YouTube channel titled "Men Are Good!" And as luck would have it, Tom read his own article, essentially narrated it. But more on that in a minute. For those unfamiliar, Tom has 30-plus years experience working as a therapist. He's written 3 books, was the vice chair of the Maryland Commission for Men's Health, and he also played a small role in Cassie J's daring 2016 documentary, The Red Pill. In Tom's words, quote, "The mission for Men Are Good is to bring greater awareness to the hardship and discrimination that men and boys face while offering them compassion and choice. We have a long way to go," end quote. And I say, yes, indeed we have. Back to Tom's article and what he calls the video talk of it. His reading of his article is around 18 minutes long, and we're going to break it into about half. We're going to break it around half and play both halves in the first hour. But I want you to listen closely, and I'd even encourage you to watch or listen, as it were, to the video on his YouTube channel later, and perhaps even read the article and bookmark it for later too. It speaks to some kind of underlying, some undercurrents, especially, listen to the Disney statistics that he mentions and think about how those really affect our culture in a very subtle, insidious, and seemingly imperceptible way. I love to take calls and comments on the subject matter, but I'll ask you to hold them until the second hour so that we can get through the subject matter. And spoiler alert, I'll also probably be referring to Terrence Moore's brilliant 2004 Claremont Institute article titled "Wimps and Barbarians, the Sons of Murphy Brown," which I've mentioned before, and so that's, I think, an important piece of helpful information for men and women. So anyway, well, enough ado. I would say here's I want to give you the beginning of Tom Golden's video talk on YouTube, and it's titled "Relationship Aggression, Is It a Trap for Men?" It's the same title, obviously, as the article over at A Voice for Men. So if we're ready with that, go ahead.
A gynocentric world is a dangerous place for men. The hazards are many, including traps that are simply beyond the awareness of most. Relational aggression is one of those traps. Most of us are aware of the physical violence of many women and the culture's disinterest in holding women accountable, but this is different. Relational aggression is more insidious due to its invisibility and the encouragement from the culture at large. Let's have a look at this trap called relational aggression. We've spent nearly 50 years warning women about men's physical aggression. We've created laws, built institutions, and flooded the media in efforts to protect women. In the process, we've been told repeatedly that this is not just a problem of a few men who are out of control, but instead is a problem of all men and their masculinity. This is nutty stuff. All the while, there's been a muffled silence about women's aggression. Some has trickled through like a little bit of attention on Mean Girls, but the reality and lethality of women's aggression has rarely leaked into the media. The sad news is that women's aggression is really a trap for men. being aware of the trap may help you navigate and steer clear. With that background, this video will have a good look at women's relational aggression, how it works, where it starts, and the dangers and traps that men face as a result. We'll also spend a little time in looking at how this form of aggression impacts nearly all men's issues, and importantly, how feminism is literally based on this form of aggression, but is never called out for it. So let's get started. Relational aggression starts early. The youngest female researchers have identified practicing relational aggression was 2.5 years old. 2.5. Oh boy. But what is this thing called relational aggression? The best definition I've heard calls it bullying without physical violence. That sums it up pretty well. Researchers defined it something like this: behaviors that harm others through damage or threat of damage to relationships. And they go on to talk about how relational aggression is meant to destroy feelings of acceptance, friendship, or group inclusion. Basically, attacking someone's identity and trying your best to hurt them without being violent. So how's this accomplished? Well, through excluding, ignoring, teasing, gossiping, secrets, backstabbing, lies, false accusations, rumor spreading, and hostile body language, eye rolling, you know, smirking, stuff like that. So this stuff is lethal. It may sound harmless, but that's simply not the case. It can lead to very serious consequences, including what's being called third-party abuse, which is when relational aggression tricks authorities into unwittingly continuing the abuse. Relational aggression is also stealth. With physical aggression, you leave bruises, scars, or broken bones, and these things can be seen. People gasp when they see them, but how about relational aggression? You can't see it. It's basically invisible. If that isn't bad enough, the invisibility also makes it very difficult to challenge. Try proving someone gossiped and spread lies about you. Try disproving a false accusation. Both nearly impossible, but both potentially lethal. This leaves relational violence a stealth tool that is so easy to deny. Who, me? I didn't do anything. Why are you so upset about nothing? Oh boy. And of course, gynocentrism plays its ugly part in all this, in protecting the lying female, making matters worse still. This is not to say that there are no physically violent women. There are. The research has found some interesting things about physically aggressive women. It seems that those women who are physically aggressive and men who are relationally aggressive have been found to have more psychological pathology than their counterparts. So be on the lookout for relationally aggressive men and physically aggressive women. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. Some are seeing that one precursor of relational aggression is what they are calling hostility attribution bias. Basically, this means that the person assumes wrongly that a hostile act has occurred and wrongly assumes it was directed towards them. Say a young girl sees two friends whispering and wrongly assumes they are whispering about her. She's experiencing a hostility attribution bias, and this apparently occurs more with girls and women in their relationships. How many times as a man have I heard something from a woman claiming that I thought a certain way or did something for a certain reason? I know it's completely false, but she's beyond convinced that she's right and that I'm lying. Has ever happened to you? I bet it has. Repeatedly. The researchers are saying that sometimes it is this hostility attribution bias that stimulates the relational aggression. Makes sense to me, and it gives us a clue about how to defend ourselves. Beware of hostility attribution bias. This is a red-hot danger sign. Run if you can. One researcher, Nikki Crick, studied young boys and girls and found some very interesting results. She noted that 15.6% of the young boys used physical aggression, but only 0.4% of the girls. Okay, but she also found that 17.4% of the girls used relational aggression and only 2% of the boys.
What's the punchline?
Quick total of these and realized that the boys and girls were equally aggressive. They just had different paths.
It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
I'll be loving you always, with a love that's true. When the things you've planned need a helping hand, I will understand always, always. Days may not be fair, that's when I'll be there.
I want to continue on a little bit with this here. So there was a break as Tom Golden was mentioning. One researcher, Nikki Crick, studied young boys and girls and found some interesting results. She noted that 15.6% of young boys used physical aggression, but only 0.4% of the girls. She also found that 17.4% of girls used relational aggression, which again is a subject that gets very little media attention, and therefore most people don't even realize that it's an issue, but it is. So 17.4% of the girls in the study used relational aggression and only 2% of the boys. So these results are inversely equal, you might say, when you add them up. So basically the point that Tom Golden is getting at is Crick totaled these and realized that the boys and girls were equally aggressive. They just had different paths to get there. In other words, they externalized that aggression in different ways. And, you know, based on that study, the boys were more physical, the girls were more relational. And it stands to reason, as you do a more in-depth survey. Really, I've kind of touched on this in the past. You see that in the way that biblical passages like Numbers chapter 30, for example, I think really kind of speak to that. Anyway, I want to continue on here a little bit with Tom Golden's words, and then we'll take a break here in the middle, just in a little bit. So go ahead, please.
Boys. Crick totaled these and realized that the boys and girls were equally aggressive. They just had different paths to get there. The boys were more physical. The girls were more relational. More and more of recent research is working to measure both relational aggression and physical aggression, but you don't see or hear much about that in the media. One might assume that if boys and girls have similar levels of aggression, that you would find that the culture would address both, right? Wrong. Our gynocentric culture perseverates on males' aggression and ignores and even promotes the relational aggression. Men's violence is seen as atrocious and wicked, and women's relational aggression is ignored. One indicator of this bias was shown by researchers when they studied the animated films of Disney. What did they find? They found that 100% of the animated Disney films contained relational aggression, and specifically found that the average was 11 relationally aggressive acts per hour. That's an act every 6 minutes or so. The relational aggression was often portrayed as justified and shown to have few negative consequences. The worst news is that such aggression was often portrayed by female characters who were attractive, rich, and popular. The media is literally training our young girls that it's okay to be relationally aggressive. In fact, it's what the rich, attractive, and popular girls do. There are no calls of concern from parents or teachers to stop this. I hope you're getting a picture of how dangerous this is for men and boys. The trend for girls to be more relationally aggressive than boys continues into adolescence and beyond. There's some evidence that men start using more relational aggression as they get older, but I think the accepted idea is that women are more likely to use relational aggression. It does make one wonder why. The evolutionary psychologists have some ideas about that. They say that men for eons have had to aggressively compete with other men in order to seek reproductive access. In other words, get the girl. In doing this, they would form hierarchies not unlike other primate males who physically compete for alpha status. The higher your status in the hierarchy, the more likely you get the top female. Men became accustomed to competing with their fellows and taking their place within a hierarchy of winners and losers and all those in between. Women, on the other hand, didn't have the same need to aggressively compete for a mate. She was a chooser, not a competitor. Instead, women needed a community to aid her while she was dependent due to her being pregnant and raising children. This pushed women to not compete, but to strive to be an accepted part of the group. If a woman tried to elevate herself above the others in her group, she was seen as an outlier, someone who was betraying the group by trying to make themselves appear above the others, and this was discouraged or even punished. So the idea was to only be aggressive if it was stealth and could be easily denied. This ensured their place in the group. Present-day psychologists see this tendency in the workforce, where if a woman appears to be succeeding and doing better than the other women at the office, she's often subject to relationally aggressive attacks by other females. Gossip, finger-pointing, rumors, lies, etc. This hides their aggressiveness, since open aggression would be seen as counter to the group's cohesiveness. Making the attacks quiet keeps the group stable.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, This one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. We're listening to Tom Golden, what he calls video talk of his article titled Relationship Aggression, Is It a Trap for Men? And so we're going to continue a little bit here, and we'll break for a moment, but we'll continue on. And again, I encourage you to listen closely because, you know, although this is this kind of flies in the face of the conventional wisdom, which is almost always an oxymoron that we hear in the mainstream press, it's nonetheless important information. And we need to get back to sanity, put our feet back on the ground and behave like ladies and gentlemen. So here's Tom Golden.
Making the attacks quiet keeps the group stable. She doesn't sacrifice her group inclusion. Researchers have found that women's in-group preference, that is, an automatic preference for their own gender, is over 4 times as important as a male's in-group preference is for him. Women depend on other women and are reluctant to risk exclusion. Another example of women being dependent upon the group is the recent understanding of how women heal from loss and stress. Shelley Taylor's research found that women, when stressed, move towards interaction and other people. Women depend on others, mostly other women, to aid in their healing, unlike men who tend to heal through action or inaction on their own. This makes a woman's group of friends important to her for her own healing and offers us more reasons why she would not want to appear overtly aggressive and risk being excluded. This actually explains something I saw in a research study years ago. The study had men and women playing a computer war game. The subjects were to decide how much to bomb the opponents. Under most conditions, the women bombed far less than the men. But in one condition, they bombed as much or more than the men. That was when others could not see how much the women were bombing. As long as no one could see, it was bombs away. The researchers were puzzled. But again, this seems to show that female preference for relational aggression that can be hidden and easily denied. So how does relational aggression play out in men's issues? Simple. It's embedded in just about all of it. Think about divorce and parental alienation. What an alienating mother does to the child is relational aggression. She's telling lies to the child about the father. She's attempting to use those lies to hurt the father. This is relational aggression, and it's obviously lethal.
I want to think about false accusations. Let's pause for a second. Hopefully this makes sense. You know, again, I think Numbers chapter 30 comes to mind. Just briefly, I want to pause for a second. And you heard him say some key things, you know. So in research, because of the herd nature, the communal nature, the social proclivities of women, this pushed women, he said, to not compete but to strive to be accepted as part of a group. You see that in movie themes and stuff. I think some of that at some level is social engineering, but there is, I think, an innate sort of nature to it too. You mentioned gossip, finger-pointing, rumors, lies, etc. Those kinds of things hide their aggressiveness, since open aggression would be seen as counter to the group cohesiveness. And, you know, it's cliche that sometimes women can be catty. We say that about women. We don't say that so much about men. Again, this isn't so much finger pointing. It's just trying to identify what's going on, get to the bottom of what's going on in society that's not being spoken to specifically. So making the attacks quiet keeps the group stable. He said she doesn't sacrifice her group inclusion. Researchers have found that women's in-group preference, that is, an automatic preference for their own gender, is over 4 times as important as a male's in-group preference is for him. And Tom will actually go on to say, as most of us know, that to deal with things, women often seek other women, you know, dealing with life issues, whether good or bad or otherwise, and men will often do the opposite. He said women depend on women and are reluctant to risk exclusion, is the way that he put it. So it's just an important element in the dynamic. But again, going back to the subject matter of the Disney research, the work studying Disney's animated films, it's interesting, provocative. I have noticed this, but I never had a term for it, I guess, until I started following some of this information. But you can see it, and it's, you know, as the research points out, researchers found 100% of the animated Disney films contain relational aggression, and specifically found that an average of 11 relationally aggressive acts per hour, or one every 6 minutes or so, and often portrayed as justified and shown to have few negative consequences. So basically this is inculcating young girls into this mindset, predominantly young girls, obviously. And it's – see, this is part of the conflict that's being engineered, part of that balkanization that I talk about. This is one of the aspects of it. And so anyway, we'll talk about that more. But for now, back to Tom Golden.
Of rape is straight up relational aggression. It's lying with the intent to cause pain. Both cases, the parental alienation and the false accusation, show us something important. The lies that are used are very difficult to disprove and are very easily denied. If the father or the falsely accused man challenged the woman, it's simple for her to deny and blow it off. If it ever gets to the point of her needing to admit she did this, she can then just say, "I didn't mean to hurt anyone." It's nearly impossible to disprove a false accusation. And keep in mind, both of these instances, it's likely the authorities will get involved and become a tag team with third-party abuse. Think of domestic violence. The feminists have maintained for decades that domestic violence is all about violent men beating innocent women. But is that really the truth? There are likely a small minority of couples where the husband is a sociopath and the feminist version is close to being correct, but I think those situations are very rare. Research has shown us that most domestic violence is reciprocal. That is, both parties are involved in the altercations. So how did they get to the point where the man would hit her? It doesn't take much creativity to realize that she likely used relational aggression of some sort that lit his fuse and eventually moved into their violent interchange. It's a very good guess that she's using her relational aggression skills to create as much pain in him as she can, and then he blows his top and the feminist oligarchy comes in and ignores her part of igniting the fuse and often focuses on his overt violence. Then the entire third-party abuse Duluth treatment team takes over and officially sees him as the problem and her as the victim. I mean, really, that's insane. It wasn't always like that. When I worked at a mental health center in the 1970s, we were trying to help female victims of domestic violence. At that time, the feminist did not have a stranglehold over the services like they do now. There were competing voices. One of those competing voices was those doing family therapy. They believed that in the majority of cases, excluding the sociopaths, of course, that what was needed was to help the couple with conflict resolution. This, of course, really pissed off the feminist, since it negated their idea of bad man, victim woman. A huge fight ensued between the two groups, and as you can imagine, the feminists won. Who knows what sorts of relational aggression they used to get their way? They needed to be sure that their basic assumption of men bad, women victim was not tarnished or given secondary place. Thus, the feminist submarined any kind of attention that might have been paid to the woman's side of the problem. Only men were the bad guys. Now, where did that come from? Think back to the hostility attribution bias. Remember that? When you wrongly assume the intent? The whole of feminism has a massive hostility attribution bias in their assumption that men are the root of their problems. They blame men, all men. Individuals misinterpret single interactions, while groups like feminism misinterpret huge swaths of reality. The feminists have misinterpreted men's providing and protecting of women for ages as being the oppression of women. That's hostility attribution bias on steroids. Somehow they've convinced nearly everyone that this falsehood is the truth. Of course it's not, and it's merely a mistaken assumption, but in this case it's a deadly one. Feminists start by swallowing a huge hostility attribution bias, but they go much farther. In so many ways, feminists act like mean girls. Don't disagree with a mean girl. If you do, you'll pay a huge price. Same thing with feminism. Try disagreeing with a feminist and see what happens. Mean girls! Feminists bully by relational aggression. They've been telling lies and spreading rumors about men for decades, and everyone assumes they're being honest. That's relational aggression. They threaten their own members with exclusion if they don't follow the exact party line, much like the mean girls do. They bully. That's relational aggression. They use the same exclusionary threats with legislators when they demand their bills are passed, or else they'll exclude them and label them as misogynists. Our cowardly legislators have been unable to rise above the bullying and the open blackmailing, and this has left us with laws that are written by bullies with a huge bias. That's relational aggression. Mean girls know they lie, and so do feminists. But they also lie about lying. Take false accusations as an example. The false accusation itself is purely relational aggression. It's a lie told that is meant to hurt. But the mean girl feminists add on to that. They lie that women never lie. This entire idea of forcing everyone to always believe the woman, no matter what, is actually a relational aggression, since it's simply a lie on top of another lie. I mean, really, could these people really believe that women never lie? They don't believe that. But they're willing to lie in order to get their way, just like the mean girls. In the end, it's all about power and control, the two very things that feminists accuse domestic violence abusers of doing. Mean girls demand power and control, and so do feminists. I think it's time we started to call feminists mean girls and point out their relational aggressiveness every time we see it. We need to do the same thing with the women in our lives, whether it's our spouses, sisters, mothers, or whoever. We need to keep our eyes peeled for hostile attribution bias and for relational aggression and call them out when we see them. Most importantly, we need to maintain our cool and calmness as we confront. Speak your truth, don't back down. Remember, the relational violence is intended to get you upset and pissed off. Don't let it. Your upset will be used against you. Calmness will help you turn the tables. If you disallow them to piss you off, it will likely backfire, and instead, they will be the ones to blow. So guys, I hope you're seeing that relational aggression leaves men in a very vulnerable state. Women are literally encouraged to practice this stuff at your expense and the expense of your children. Use caution and keep in mind that men are good, as are you. If you like this sort of content, please consider supporting this channel on Patreon. I'd really appreciate it. And do comment, like, subscribe, and hit that daggone notification bell. Happy New Year!
There you go. That's Tom Golden in his own words. Again, the title of the article over at A Voice for Men and the same title of the video on his YouTube channel, Men Are Good. Relational aggression, is it a trap for men? So again, you know, this probably sounds like a sort of a non sequitur almost on Valentine's Day, but I assure you it's not. As you heard Tom Golden close, he said, in the end, it's all about power and control, the two very things they accuse domestic violence or violence abusers of doing. Mean girls demand power and control, and so do feminists. But I would submit that it's actually the level above that. You think of the raised capstone on the pyramid, for example, and we always hear about the, you know, the puppeteering, or we kind of see the top levels of the puppeteering, but never get to that. You know, we never speak to that raised capstone and where these ideas are coming from. And what I mean in this case is the way that men and women are played off against one another. I've mentioned in the past how everyone in society plays their role. This is a very cleverly engineered and orchestrated kind of theater, balkanizing everyone, every social construct that can be manufactured and exploited. And in this case, obviously, men and women. And so in the same sort of way that the subject of racism and slavery is really kind of thrown in the face of a certain segment of society, namely black people, this is the sort of female counterpart. You know, there is a legitimate aspect of the discussion and the subject matter, but that is fomented and blown into something much larger. And then there's the conflation of other things that's brought in in an effort really to kind of goad women's ire. And again, it plays on the legitimate, but it makes more out of it and ends up causing this terrible conflict. And that's what we need to steer clear of and actually reverse. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com. Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigraLeaf. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigraLeaf migraine formula. MigraLeaf is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigraLeaf for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Loving you always, with a love that's true always. When the things you've planned need a helping hand, I will understand. Always, always, days may not be fair, always.
Welcome back.
That's when I'll be
happy Valentine's Day. We listened to Tom Golden in his own words do his video talk, as he called it. Which is also on his YouTube channel, Men Are Good, titled Relationship, Aggression, is it a trap for men? This is kind of a counterpart to, you know, some of the stuff that we've seen in the headlines. And the bottom line is, it's time to stop all this nonsense. The bottom line in all this insanity is we live in a society that has been scientifically engineered to, in essence, coerce us against our own intuition to not only reject our innate proclivities as men and women, but to also fight with one another about it and vilify anyone who would seek to speak out against or refuse to go along with this insanity. And it is insanity. No wonder American men and women are so miserable and unhappy, generally speaking. Fortunately, there is a remedy. It's called the BIBLE, and it's the only self-replicating, error-correcting code that'll properly iron out all these wrinkles and get us back on the fast track to peaceful, joyous cohabitation. Feminist men like poster child Justin Trudeau are, well, in a word, not men. Really, truly, I'll touch on that in a minute. Again, drawing from Terrence Moore's brilliant 2004 Claremont Institute article, Wimps and Barbarians, The Sons of Murphy Brown. I've mentioned it several times in the past. It's an excellent article. Everyone should have a copy of that. So the Justin Trudeaus of the world are frankly not men by most orthodox standards. And by the same token, so-called feminist women aren't women. Feminist spokespersons like Rosie O'Donnell et al. Always look miserable to me, except maybe in that photo of her selling all of her houses that's a headline today. Why would any woman want to be like that? It's ironic how bitter and jaded they mostly seem after being fed a steady diet of distorted conflations like you don't need a man. No, ladies, you certainly don't need a man, but you want one, which is no surprise because you came from one, Genesis 2:21, parenthetically. And you generally want to return to a side, so to speak, as it were. So it's a painful irony to see these poor women plagued by the cognitive dissonance of the truth and reality that you, while you don't need a man, technically, you want one. Because you were created that way by God. And yet you've been socially engineered, cybernetically altered to believe you don't want one. And all the while hating yourself for wanting one. Or at least society would condition you to believe that. What an unbelievable cruelty to inflict upon someone. Who could possibly conceive of such a diabolical deception? Again, John 8:43 and 44 comes to mind. I'll do it for the first hour, second hour coming up. Lines are open. We'll be right back.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.